Here are 30 life lessons I learned before turning 30. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Paul Miners Podcast, the show that will help you to optimize your time, income, and lifestyle fast. Get more done with actionable, easy-to-follow advice and learn how to live life on your terms. And now, introducing your host, Paul Miners.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Paul Miners Podcast, episode number 217. As always, it is a pleasure to have you listening today. I know how valuable your time is, so thank you for taking a little bit of time to listen to this episode. And at the time of recording this, I'm actually recording ahead of time, but on the day this is coming out, yesterday, if that makes sense, I turned 30. And when you have a significant birthday like this, it's natural, I feel, to look back on how you've grown over the years. And so heading into my 30s, I'm pleased with where I'm at in life. When I turned 20, I was still at university, and I simply had the goal of running my own business. And in my early 20s, I had a couple of great jobs which allowed me to learn a lot and develop a lot as an individual. And I really do look back on my early 20s as a period of time where I learned a lot. You know, after university, just getting into the workforce, I really developed a lot as a person. And then in 2014, I started my blog and began learning about how to make money online selling my expertise. And then it was in 2016, when I was about 25, I managed to take my consulting business, my side business, full time. And I went traveling with my wife. And from there, my business has grown over the last sort of 4 to 5 years now, to the point where I can comfortably support my wife and our son. You know, we've started our family. And so I'm pleased to say that I've achieved what I wanted to in my 20s. And looking back, I thought it'd be fun to share 30 things that I've learned over the years that have helped me along the way. And of course, like everyone, I suppose, I still have a lot to learn, and I'm looking forward to seeing how I continue to grow in my 20s, into my 30s. Gosh. And so if you want to read along, get access to any of the links of things mentioned in this episode, you can find those at paulminers.com/217. So here we go. 30 tips. Let's get into it. I've categorized them as well. So the first thing I want to, or the first category I'm going to be touching on, is health and fitness related. So the first one is to prioritize sleep. What I've learned is that really there is no substitute for getting a good night's sleep. Some people like to boast about working long hours and getting by on little sleep, but this is unsustainable. And if you want to sustain a healthy and productive lifestyle, you really have to get sufficient sleep. And there's been a few periods, I've always been a big sleeper, there've been a few periods in my 20s when we had our first child, or when I was working on my side business and I was getting up particularly early, you definitely notice the effects of getting less sleep. My second lesson is to eat food, mostly plants, not too much. This is just a quote, really, from Michael Pollan. And I just love this one because it so clearly articulates how to eat well with just very simple rules and guidelines to follow. No fancy diets or radical eating styles. You just eat good whole food. That's what eat food means. Eat good whole food and stay away from processed ingredients. You can eat meat, that's fine, but make sure you eat a lot of plants and vegetables, and just don't eat too much. You don't have to eat until you're full for each meal. So eat food, mostly plants, not too much. Really simple lesson for just living a well, balanced, healthy lifestyle. Tip number three is exercise doesn't have to be boring. We live a very active lifestyle, and I would go crazy if I couldn't exercise. And even if it wasn't good for you, I would still exercise purely because I enjoy it. Whether it's pushing myself in a CrossFit class or golfing with my friends or going for a morning walk, I just get a lot of enjoyment from exercise. And so if you're someone that finds exercise to be a chore, or you get bored at the gym like I used to in my early 20s, try something else. The sweet spot is really when you can find something that helps you to keep fit while socializing or having fun at the same time. So that's why I love things like golf and CrossFit. I'm literally hanging out with my friends and the exercise is just kind of part of it. Tip number four, don't forget to exercise your brain. So exercising your mind is just as important as exercising your brain. Over the years, I've benefited from a semi-regular meditation practice using Headspace, where I meditate for about 10 minutes a morning, a couple of times a week. And starting last year, I actually started to float once a month as well. And I've linked in the show notes to an episode from a couple of months ago where I talked about my floating experience and advice for getting started. And meditation and floating, you know, these things are not only great a great way to reset your brain, but they help you to recognize when you're getting distracted or if you're obsessing too much about an idea or emotion throughout the day. It helps you to be more mindful, as the practice suggests. And I think just having that additional awareness is a super useful tool that you can carry with you in other aspects of your life. And my fifth tip, my final lesson for the health and fitness category, is to walk every day. Walking is the perfect balance between physical exercise and mindfulness, you know, as I've talked about in this section. I walk every single day without fail, even if I'm not going to the gym. Even if I am going to the gym in the evening, I still walk at lunch to break up the day and reset my mind so I can have a productive afternoon of work. So I usually walk around lunchtime. Okay, so moving into the business category, some tips or lessons related to business. First lesson is that, or number six on the list, is that good things come to those who persist. Not to those who wait, but those who persist. It takes time to start a business. And a lot of people, I think, give up before they've found traction. And what a lot of people don't realize is you have to try and fail with lots of ideas before you find that thing that works. And if it were easy, everyone would probably prefer to work for themselves, but it does take time. So just keep going, and eventually you'll find the thing that works for you if you are someone that is looking to start a business. Tip number seven, focus on moving the needle. This is great for business owners, or if you're you're a salaried worker. When you're starting a business, don't waste time on stuff that doesn't matter. It's easy to distract ourselves and focus on creating the right, you know, company logo or create a nicely designed website. But really what matters when you start a business is finding customers and convincing them that the product or service you have to offer is worth spending their hard-earned money on. And that's it. Before you can prove your hypothesis about how your business delivers value, everything else is secondary. But we like to worry about our logo or print business cards or work on the website because those things are fun and easy, and it's a nice way to procrastinate from the difficult stuff, which is trying to ask people to pay you money. Tip number eight is to always challenge your assumptions. Lesson number eight, always challenge your assumptions. I made the mistake of thinking that my customers would never spend money on an online course about Asana. And I told myself for years that I couldn't do a course because people want to pay to work with me. Why would they do a course? You know, that you can learn online and watch videos online. Eventually, after seeing one of my own customers who went through my consulting program do this in their business, I created a program that combined an online course with group and private consulting, which is the model I have now. And this is really, in the last year, it's just helped me take my business to that whole new level without having to work longer hours. And so the mistake was just not challenging my assumptions early enough. In hindsight, I left a lot of money on the table, you know, a lot of opportunity and a lot of, I worked longer hours back in the day because I thought I had to be booked up lots. And so I left a lot of good opportunity on the table there. So challenge your assumptions. Even if you're really confident on that this won't work or this will work, always be willing to challenge your assumptions. Tip number nine is to solve problems, not features. So when we're communicating what we do and the value we provide via a website or an email or video, we make the mistake of focusing on features. And customers care about solving problems. If they believe you can solve their problem, the what and the how aren't nearly as important. And being able to articulate the problem as clearly clearer than the customer can, makes them believe that you have the solution. And so that's what I've really tried to focus on with my clients looking for help with Asana and Pipedrive, is when I'm on a call saying, look, it sounds like this is your problem. And they go, yes, that's exactly what I'm feeling. That's great, because it means they now know that I understand where they're coming from. So focus on problems. Lesson number 10, simplify for success. Simplify your offer. Don't offer too many options. Make it easy for customers to decide. Simplify your tools and your systems. Don't use multiple tools when one will do the trick. And simplify your processes. How can you eliminate redundant steps, standardize the process, and deliver the same results in less time? The simpler the business, the easier it is to scale and grow. And that goes back to the tip that I gave before about challenging your assumptions. I think how I changed my consulting offer to more of an online course and group coaching format was a great example of moving redundancy, simplifying things, and that in turn has helped me to grow. And tip number 11, the more you grow, the more you need to say no. Saying yes to ideas and opportunities is great, and it's fine. It's a good way of learning in the beginning. But as you grow, you'll be approached with more opportunities, and you'll need to say no more often so that you can stay focused on what matters. Okay, the next category of lessons that I'm talking about are all related to personal finance. And the first one, or the tip number, or lesson number 11, is to live within your means. So if you want to save money, it's pretty simple, really. Look at what you earn and make sure you spend less than this. Create a budget if you need to. This is why I like tools like PocketSmith. And don't borrow money to buy things you don't need. If you need to go into debt to pay for something, the exception there, I think, is a house. But if you need to go into debt to buy a car or to buy a TV, you probably don't need that thing. And I see these payment services popping up all over the place now, like, you know, pay one installment now, pay the rest later. If you can't buy the whole thing now, you probably shouldn't be buying it. So live within your means. Lesson number 13, you can only save a finite amount, but there's no limit to what you can earn. And this is one of the great realizations I had after reading Ramit Sethi's book, I Will Teach You to Be Rich. And I've linked to his book summary in my show notes. But saving money is good, and you shouldn't buy stuff that you don't need. But there's only so much you can save. You know, there's going to be a minimum that you have to spend on your rent or your mortgage, your groceries, utilities, and the stuff you need to just live your life. But from there, growing your wealth comes down to earning more, and there's no limit to that. Lesson number 14 is to decide what you're going to cut spending on so that you can splurge elsewhere. And this is another really good takeaway from Ramit's book, one that really stood out for me. It's okay to spend money on stuff that you care about as long as you're deciding where to cut and where to save. So, for example, some people love fancy clothes and they want to buy nice shoes and jackets and shirts. I really couldn't care less. I am pretty simple. I wear jeans and t-shirts and Vans. And my taste is pretty simple. And that's fine. That's just me. But I'm really happy to pay for a CrossFit membership, which some people would say is very expensive compared to a regular gym. And that's fine because I get so much enjoyment from it. That's the thing where I'm like, I'm happy to spend on this and buy new shoes or gym gear. That's fine. I'm going to spend some money there because I don't spend money on fancy clothes. My wife and I, Haley, we don't eat out a lot either. Because we have a 3-year-old, almost 3-year-old now, we don't get a lot of opportunities to go out for dinners. And so that's fine. It means we justify buying a few more, a takeaway once a week because we don't go out to restaurants and things. So I think just making those little trade-offs, like I'm going to spend more here by saving here, is a really nice way to think about budgeting more consciously. Lesson number 15, buy Bitcoin. I've mentioned a few times that I'm very optimistic about the future of Bitcoin. I've put hundreds of hours at this point of research into Bitcoin, and I could spend a long time talking about this. For now, my advice is to, if you can, buy a little bit of Bitcoin each week. Don't worry about the price. Don't worry about other cryptocurrencies. Just buy Bitcoin a little bit every week if you can, or every month. And simply buy and hold for the long term. I've been doing this for a few years. I've never purchased any other cryptocurrencies, and it's worked out pretty well for me. Lesson number 16, diversify your income. Never have just one source of income. Whether you operate a business or earn a salary, always look at how you can diversify your income and set up multiple revenue streams. And this is the best way to protect yourself. You know, if something happens, you lose your job, or COVID comes along and wipes out your income. And there's loads of things you can do. You can to earn a few extra bucks. You can start a side business. You can invest. You could drive for Uber, monetize your skills on Fiverr, sell stuff you don't need. There's many ways to earn a few extra bucks. Okay, so now we're getting into the self-development category. And lesson number 17 is to learn to communicate as clearly as you can. Being able to communicate clearly is one of the most valuable skills you can have, I think. Whether you're talking in person or writing an email, the clearer you can present your ideas, the greater your ability to convince other people of your way of thinking. And I think starting a blog or a podcast is a great way of honing this skill. Obviously, I started my podcast and this blog in my 20s, early 20s. And I can say with confidence that my communication skills, writing and speaking, I think have gotten better as a result. Tip number 18. Your brain is for processing, not storing information. And some people might disagree with this, and if you have a great memory, that's awesome. But for me, I cannot rely on my brain to remember things. I prefer to offload as much as I can. So if I need to remember to do something, use a task manager. If I want to remember information, I use a notebook or a journal. And by offloading as much information as I can, naturally, for me, I start to feel more organized and more on top of things. Lesson number 19, it's okay to not have goals. Goals are great. They give you a sense of direction and help you prioritize. But if you're too goal-focused, once you reach the goal, you quickly move on to the next thing without stopping to celebrate your achievements. It's sort of like, great, I achieved that milestone, now I need even more. And you become insatiable. And so it's okay to not have goals. I think it helps you to enjoy the journey instead of getting obsessed with the destination. And right now I'm enjoying working on and in my business. And I honestly don't care if the business grows anymore. I'm happy just kind of optimizing, making it more efficient, improving the systems, the process to make a better business. That doesn't necessarily mean growing it. Lesson number 20, don't worry about things you can't control. Now, having spent time in my 20s learning about stoicism, one of the biggest takeaways is to only focus on what you can control. If you can't control something, especially the opinions of other people, why waste time and energy worrying about it? And another Stoic lesson, number 21, is to enjoy the opportunity to learn from adversity. So if something bad happens, there's always an opportunity to learn and improve. It may be as simple as having an opportunity to practice patience or self-control or discipline or being calm and level-headed. But every negative experience presents an opportunity for you to be better. Number 22, it's okay to change your opinion. Changing your opinion is not a bad thing. We worry about what people will judge us if we change our opinion. Maybe they think we're being flaky or uneducated. But changing your opinion could simply mean that your view on something has changed, just like your taste buds change over time and things we used to detest are now delicious. I used to not like mushrooms. And in a few years ago, now I love mushrooms. Pretty weird. Anyway, the same is true of our opinions, and that's fine. And number 23, I really like this one, own your mistakes. The truth will come out anyway. So rather than try and hide from the mistake and people seeing this, own it. So when I make a mistake, I will preemptively take responsibility. I will say, this is my mistake. This is what I did wrong. And when you do that, you take ammunition away from anyone who might criticize you. Because you say, yeah, I know I made the mistake. I'm owning it. I've admitted it. So by owning the mistake, you can save face and you can move on. And that's better for everyone. Okay, getting into the final category here, productivity. Lesson number 24 is to cultivate discipline. Somebody asked me a week ago, what is your biggest productivity tip? And it's really hard to say because I think it depends on the individual and, you know, depends on what you struggle with. But I think cultivating discipline is a precursor to productivity. A lack of discipline leads to procrastination, less focus, and it results in us jumping from one thing to the next. If you can be more disciplined with how you use your time, how you use your tools, and following a consistent routine, you will be more productive. So focus on discipline. How can you make yourself more accountable? Lesson number 25, focus on making a little bit of progress each day. Always ask yourself, what is the next thing I need to do to make progress? And the smaller and easier that thing, I think, the better. By making just a little bit of progress on a project each day, you'll quickly build momentum and progress. And that was my mentality when I started my business. Like I said earlier, it takes a little bit of time. So each morning I would get up early and I just wanted to make a little bit of progress, whether it was something on my website or writing a blog or a video or finding a client. Just focus on what's a little bit of progress I can make. Lesson number 26, good enough is better than not at all. Perfection is the enemy of progress. And my early YouTube videos had embarrassingly low production quality. I am still ashamed if you look back at some of my early videos at the quality. But the content was good, and that's what matters. The point is, you have to suck at something for a while so that you can get better. And I'm glad I made the videos, even though the quality was terrible. I'm glad I did them because it allowed me to make a start. Some people obsess too much about what camera do I use? How do I edit it? How do I make it better? And I think it's tough because, you know, there are some amazing YouTube videos out there now. People put a lot of effort into YouTube videos. So the standard is really high, but don't let that be a deterrent. you know, good enough is better than not at all. Lesson number 27, learn to catch yourself. One of the benefits of a regular mindfulness practice, like I mentioned before, is that it teaches you how to catch yourself from doing time-wasting activities. So for instance, you're working away and a friend sends you a link to a video. If you're disciplined, there we go, like I said before, if you're disciplined and being mindful, you'll be able to leave the video until later instead of letting it derail your productive work. Or sometimes I'll be working on something and I'll have to catch myself and think, you know what, this is not the best use of my time right now. What's important right now is I do this other thing and I can come back to this one tomorrow. Lesson number 28, we're nearly there. If it's not on the calendar, it doesn't get done. And my readers have listened to me talk about time blocking many times over the years. I've linked to my article in the show notes here. But it's true. If you want to do something, you need to put it on your calendar. This is something I started probably in my late teens, actually, when I was at university. But time blocking is one of the skills I've practiced most frequently, or I've maintained so consistently over my 20s. Number 29, tools are only as good as how you use them. So as someone who spends his days helping people use tools like Asana and Pipedrive, I can tell you that how you use the tool is far more important than the tool itself. And yet, a lot of people get carried away trying every task management app and email client, thinking the next one will solve their problems. But principles trump features every time. And a lot of people switch to something else because they think this is one has this feature, this will help. And tools are important and, you know, you need to weigh up the pros and cons, but it's how you use them and principles that you should really be focusing on. And here we go. Lesson number 30. Remember, you could die next week, so don't put things off. And so ending this episode on another Stoic lesson, but remember that life is short and it could end sooner than you think. And I don't want to be morbid, but it is one of these lessons from Stoic philosophy, and it reminds me of a quote that Steve Jobs once said during his Stanford commencement speech, and it is this, quote, "Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important." And I think this is one of the best kept productivity secrets. If you ever find yourself procrastinating and putting things off, if you're unhappy with something in your life, remember you're going to die. So you better get to work and put your time to good use. And this is something I've thought about when facing big decisions in life, when I wanted to, buy my first house with my wife, Haley, or quit my job to go traveling. Or when Haley left her job to come and work with me, it was like, oh man, we're all in on this business now. Or hiring my first contractor, making big changes to my business, having a child. So just reminding myself, like, you know what? Yeah, maybe now's not the right time. You know, a bit busy with work, whatever. Now is not, you know, waiting for the perfect time is something we always try and tell ourselves, you know, we could wait till a better time. But you never know what the future might bring, you know. You or somebody in your family might get sick next year and you're going to lose your opportunity. So that's my final one. Ending there, because I think we really should try and take every opportunity that we can. So anyway, those are my 30 life lessons that I've picked up and have helped me along the way over my 30s. I've definitely missed some stuff there. It's hard to remember all the lessons that I've learned over the years. But those are some of the lessons anyway that stand out. If you have any feedback for me, if you have any important lessons of your own, head on over to the show notes, paulmeiners.com/217, and you can leave me a comment there. I always appreciate your feedback. And one more time, thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners Podcast. Thank you for listening to the Paul Miners Podcast. Two quick things before I sign off. Firstly, if you enjoyed this episode or if you have any feedback for me, I would love it if you could leave me a review on iTunes. It really helps me to improve the show and it helps the show to get discovered by more people so I can help more people out there. The second thing is if you want to connect with me in person, you can become a VIP member of my website. Head to paulmeiners.com/VIP, where you will be able to join my private Slack community and attend bi-weekly group mastermind calls. This has to be one of my favorite times of the week when it comes up, is attending these group calls. The community is full of like-minded, productive, self-employed people, full-time workers. We have a real good mix of people in there. And I have to say, I have made fantastic friends with the people in this group. So if you want to join the community and connect with me and the other awesome members, sign up at paulminers.com/VIP. One more time, thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners Podcast.